Hello, everyone. Welcome to Girl Meets Girl, the podcast. This is episode 85.
Yay, the podcast is back.
We're back.
We're back.
Well, we're back.
Well, you can be the judge of that. We'll see. We're sort of back.
My name is Toast.
And this is Sienna.
And Yeah, so funny because we did skip a number, huh? But we're just going to let it skip. Remember before we took the hiatus, mm-hmm. I posted we said it was number 80, whatever, and we skipped a number. Oh, well. Announcements.
Well, maybe one day we can...
The missing episode.
Yeah, we can do something weird like that. Anyways, so this is podcast number 85. That's what we're going to say.
That's what we're calling
That's what we're going with.
Yeah.
And the title of this episode is Coming Clean.
Announcements!
First of all, we want to congratulate Daniel Ho and Tia Carrere on their Grammy win. We're so proud of them.
Woo woo!
But more to come about that.
Woo 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 woo! Also, congratulations once again. I know I posted it in the comments, but once again, congratulations to Jenny and Tanya and their bun no longer in the oven, but out here in the world. Alexander, welcome to the world.
Yay, Alexander. Yay, Alexander. And that was a while ago.
I know. So I know. He's probably like, oh, finally.
So we are thinking of some gift to send off their way. Mm-hmm. But we're so proud of you folks. And it inspires us. But this is not the baby episode. So we will move on.
And thank you to another listener, Mel. Thank you, Mel, for reminding everybody to vote for this podcast, even though there was no episodes.
I know you can still vote, but...
No, that's a lot of goodwill there.
Yeah.
So thank you. We received
that's
that.
That's true.
Thank you.
Yeah, and people were voting. I was surprised.
I know. Don't you feel so like encouraged and supported?
We trained them well. All the begging, pleading...
I will speak for yourself.
But vote, because it's not the end of Feb yet.
That's true. Right? But you do only have 28 days in February.
Yeah, so vote. All right.
And next up.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about the Grammys. So February 8th, Sunday, the 51st Grammy Awards took place at the Staples Center.
Here in Los Angeles, California.
And as we mentioned to all of you, our friend and producer, Daniel Ho, had two CDs up for Best Hawaiian Music Album.
And now, looking back on it, this is... Usually I don't watch the Grammys. Usually. It's not like a big thing. But... not only did I not watch the Grammys, but I watched, well, I guess I did. I watched the pre-televised portion only.
Yes.
And then once Daniel won, I was like, okay, can stop watching now. No, it was long.
So, yeah.
Did you guys catch it? Because I think this was the first time that they actually streamed on the internet a video feed of the pre-telecast. Award ceremony. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. And I was surprised at how well my little computer, how well that it worked with the live feed. It wasn't a lot of, you know, buffering and all that stuff that sometimes happens.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So it was really good. But anyways, the two CDs that that were nominated from Daniel Ho Creations were Spirit of Hawaiian Staki and then Ikena, which won.
Yay.
Very exciting. And also a friend of ours, Doug Katsumoto, was actually part of the design team that designed the cover of that CD.
I think he was the design team.
He just himself?
Yeah.
I can believe that because he's pretty incredible that way. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Toast and I, we had our regular Sunday gig and we rushed home so that we could make the 1 o'clock live telecast. So we're coming home and unloading and I'm turning the computer on, trying to get it, you know, to the website. And then what do I see? I see Tia. I hear everyone clapping and Tia's all wanting to thank her friend, Daniel Ho. And we just missed He Aloha Mele.
We just missed their performance.
We just missed it. Like, just missed
by seconds.
And I was like, oh my God. And so the rest of the our Grammy watching was just full of some angst because we were like, did we miss it? Did they announce it? Yeah. What happened? Because we did miss a little chunk in there.
Yeah.
So we weren't sure how much we missed. But anyways.
But we caught it live when the winner was announced. Yay. So that was really exciting.
That was exciting.
And what's great is the Grammy Association is keeping that video feed online. So it's available on demand for a month. So you can go up there. We'll put up the link. If you would like to, check it out.
Watch it.
Yeah. It's what is it, 3 hours long?
It's very long.
It's pretty long. But they do have some musical performances in between all of the announcements.
It was really good.
And yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Yep.
Because it was relaxed. You know, it's kind of laid back. Not like, you know.
Less showy.
Yeah.
You definitely got more of a community feeling, more casual, but yet still very respectful.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just really, really cool. Really cool.
Yes. So for all of you who watched it or for those of you who plan on watching it, there's a really cute shot of when they announced Ikena, which they pronounced Ikena.
Well,
they took a flash to the audience, you know, as Daniel was running up, and you could see Daniel and his wife Lydia. You know, Lydia's a little more on the shy side, and she, at first, it looked like she didn't want to go up, but it seemed like Daniel was like, "No, come on, come up." So you see that little tug of war between them.
Yeah.
And eventually, he wins, and he gets her to go up on stage. So if you're wondering who that person was, you saw Tia Carrere, you saw Amy Ku'ule'aloha Stillman, and then Daniel, of course. And if you were wondering who's that beautiful woman up there, besides Tia and Amy, it's Daniel's wife, Lydia. So that was nice to see her up there in the spotlight because she... You guys, she does so much.
Daniel didn't win any Grammys until he met Lydia.
Right, until he met Lydia.
Seriously.
I think he's her good luck charm.
She's the good luck charm for
yes,
him.
Yes.
And the dress that she was wearing
was
picked out.
I'm sure. I said he's her good luck charm.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it goes both ways. There's, you know.
Well, I think she's sure his good luck charm. There. Was that right? My pronouns all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the dress that she was wearing was a discovery that happened, 2 weeks before the Grammys?
It was 2 weeks before the Grammys.
And it was on sale, right?
It was on sale. And we just finished having dinner with Daniel and Lydia at an Italian restaurant in Westwood. It was yummy. Remember, it was yummy? Mm, it was so yummy. And
you would think we never eat, yeah.
After
every time we talk about food, it's like, wow, that was good, yeah.
Well, a little more on food, a little later.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk more on food later in the coming clean section.
Coming clean section. And but anyways, back to the dress. So, you know, this is Daniel's fourth win for a Grammy Award. So Lydia has been to 4 Grammy Award shows. And so the dress is always an issue because, you know, she's a little, I guess it's safe to say she's a little more tomboyish, even though she didn't look it, you know.
She's totally comfortable being casual.
She's no nonsense.
Yeah,
just, you know.
Actually, both her and Daniel, very, very island style. Laid back, casual, unpretentious.
Yeah, everyone knows that about Daniel, right?
Maybe.
He's so
well, now
like,
they do.
Yeah. So anyways, I knew that the past couple of times, you know, they're rushing to get a dress. So after the dinner we had with them, you know, and now it's pretty close to the Grammys. 2 weeks, I think that's pretty close.
Yes, I think so too.
You think so too?
Mm-hmm.
So it was nighttime and I said, Lydia, let's go look for a dress. Just really quick, really quick. And she goes, no, I don't want it. And I'm like, just really quick, really quick. And then she goes, okay, just that store. So we walk into a store. And when we both saw that dress, we were both like, oh my God, this is it. This is the dress.
Just like an unspoken understanding,
right? We were
just
both looking at it like, wow. And the only thing, they didn't have her size.
Of course, there were issues.
There were issues. But when it comes to fashion and someone looking and deserving to look grand, I am there. I'm there for you. I'm right in your corner.
This is a ministry of Sienna's to help you make, to help make you feel and look like the spectacular spirit that you are.
Yes, yes. And make the world visually a better place.
Yes.
By your presence.
Yes.
So anyways, that night I went online to look for the dress, to look for her size. No luck. The very next morning I looked, I found the dress online, but there were issues with ordering it and the time that we would get it. And so I called
So you went to the phones.
Went to the phones. Boom. And I called 5 stores. Now they don't even put dresses on hold because Lydia wasn't going to be able to go pick up the dress or even try it on for another like 4 days or so. But I found the dress and I begged. I begged. Kind of like how I beg for all of you to vote. I begged. I begged. And I said, please hold, you know, you really need, please hold this dress.
So like she told the person, she told the salesperson like all about why Lydia deserved to have the dress held,
yes.
You know, and specific situation.
I did.
And it worked.
It worked. And she not only held the size that Lydia thought she might be, she held another size just in case
Lydia
was a different size. Yeah. And so she had the 2 dresses and she held it for 4 plus days. Could have been a little bit longer. I think it was about at least 4 days. And they don't even hold for 1 day. Okay. They will hold till that night.
But see, it was all worth it because they made the sale.
They made the sale. Lydia went down and I was so happy that she went down and she got the dress and
she got to wear it on the internet at the Grammys.
Yes.
Winning a Grammy Award for Best Hawaiian Album.
Yay, Lydia. Okay. So now the other person that was up there
is Amy. Mm-hmm. Is that okay, blah, 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 blah. So the other person that was up there, and I'm so glad Daniel had her speak, is Amy Ku'ulea Aloha Stillman. And although Amy was not listed, obviously, as a performing artist on this album, the album's name again is Ikena, and the artists were Tia Carrere and Daniel Ho, but Amy is a professor at University of Michigan, but she is a graduate of Kalani High School on the island of Oahu. And she's a professor. I'm sure she speaks and writes fluent Hawaiian. She's written several books and numerous articles about Hawaiiana. And she is the hakumele, or the lyricist, who composed all of the songs on the album. So all of them were...
So exciting.
Yeah, it was really cool. They're all in Hawaiian language, but they're all modern, contemporary songs. None of them are traditional, you know? So it's all about carrying the Hawaiian language and Hawaiian music on into the future in this modern world. So... pretty cool.
And that's why it was so special, because out of all the albums nominated for Best Hawaiian Music Album for the Grammy Award, that was the only one that was all originals, which is so nice. Isn't that so nice?
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's like a living culture, you know, not just in a museum and taking stuff out from the old stuff.
And Amy, we've spent just a little bit of time with her, and she's just like how you saw her, or when you will, if you're gonna go watch the live feed, she's just like that, lovable, exuberant, and just enthusiastic. She's just great.
She's cool.
And then of course, beautiful Tia Carrere, which
of course
a lot of you all know, who made her, I guess, her splashing debut. What made her popular, I guess, was
Wayne's World.
And Tia is actually a graduate of Sacred Hearts Academy.
Where you are also a graduate
where
of.
Where I am also a graduate of. And she, just a really quick story about how she was discovered, in case any of you care to know.
I don't know, so please tell me.
Tia used to model from a long time ago when she was like a teenager, and she did a modeling shoot. So she was, you know, in full dress and makeup and hair and all that. And then she decided to stop over at the market on her way home. So she was in the market standing in line at, I think it was Time Supermarket.
Okay. Thanks for the detail.
Time's our star.
Where was this? In Mo'ili'ili. Oh, Kamuki. Okay.
And so she was standing in line, and then a filmmaker saw her and asked her to be in one of his films. And I don't remember what the film was, but it was a very early, you know, way back then, way back when type of film. And so she starred in that, and then that kind of gave her start. And she kept doing it.
And now she's winning Grammys.
You know,
so.
And Tia's married, and a lot of people don't know that she has a 3-year-old, very cutie pie daughter. She's totally cute. Okay. And let's see, a little bit about the song. I think we mentioned it briefly. Oh, yeah. Hello, Hamele. Yeah. Which is the song that they chose to open the pre-telecast with. Actually, you know what?
There was another song before.
Right. They didn't actually open the pre-telecast. They had some other jazz music.
Yeah, who was pretty phenomenal.
Yes. And when they introduced Tia, because Tia, if you don't know, she's actually hosting this pre-telecast along with Wayne Brady. But Daniel and Tia do Hey Aloha Mele towards the very beginning of the pre-telecast. Mm-hmm. But that Hey Aloha Mele is not on their Ikena CD. I believe it might be on their Hawaiiana CD,
which was
Tia's first CD with Daniel Ho last year, which was nominated for a Grammy.
Yes.
But this is a very popular song.
Yeah, it came out in the 80s. Wait a minute. See, I looked it up here. Let me bring it up here. Because I remember this song. It was one of actually the first songs that I learned when I was in elementary school, I think. It was by the Peter Moon Band, and it was written, I think, by one of the band members. No, I'm probably lying, because all the band members are guys. But I think it was written by a woman. Sorry. But the name of the album is Malie, and it was a big hit in Hawaii back in the day.
And the version that you hear Daniel and Tia performing is very different from how it's traditionally.
Yeah, they kind of grooved
heard.
It.
They grooved it up. So, but it is nonetheless still a very beautiful song. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who dance hula know it. Mm. You know, this is kind of the song that someone will start playing and then everyone shows up and then they're just coming out of the woodworks and everyone will dance to it.
It's a really, really nice song. Very, has a storybook feel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a nice lullaby type of song.
So anyways, we thought you might enjoy one of the songs from the Ikena CD. And we decided to go with a very, very original upbeat song, and it's called The Spam Song.
Especially for all of you spam lovers out there. Shua a hua moa, shua a musubi, shua a kalua ia. Holo holo ma hua I ka hua ka I, ho'o ma ka ka I ka holo a I, ho'olu olu I ka opu hololi. Hemo, ike kini shua.
Paolo no ho'a
Ona nea I ka malu o ke ao ho I ke kao kazu ma ke la ao ao Shua a musubi aina a whakea Ai ka ma aina ai I ka ono ai I ka shua a Shua a hua mo shua a musubi shua a kalua I
So that really is a Hawaiian song about spam.
Spam is now Hawaiian.
Shua'a.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, that's a word that Amy made up,
yeah.
Kind of. Because a Hawaiian word for pig,
pua'a,
which would be ham, right, is pua'a. And so she kind of spammed it up and said shua'a.
But there are, the Ikenasidi is full of just a wide variety of different fields of music. So that's just, it opens with the spam song, which is just fun and very upbeat. But there's a lot of other more beautiful lyrical type
meditative
music
zen on feel that CD. Too.
As well as a very bluesy tune that Daniel sings, and it's in Hawaiian. So just a lot of stuff on that CD. So if you care to listen to it, go to iTunes or to danielhull.com.
Or our show notes. We go put links
or
on
show
the
notes.
Show notes.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot. Okay.
So GirlMeetsGirlPodcast.com. GirlMeetsGirlPodcast.com. Okay, get them. Okay.
On to Cumin's Corner, because she still has one.
Yes. Cumin is our cat, and, you know, she's dealt with some health issues in the past year, but we are here to report some great news to you. So, Sienna, this,
yeah.
Why don't you
okay.
tell them what's going on?
I don't think we mentioned this because I believe our last podcast last year was early December.
Okay.
But if we mentioned it, sorry if it's getting to be like senior moments. But anyways, okay. So when Kuma was going through all these health issues, it was late 2007. And it took pretty much a full year for her to get very solid. But earlier in May, probably about May 2008... I wrote a list of things that I hoped would happen, you know, and in it, on it, was Cumin's very clean bill of health, November 2008. Well, it was really interesting because I hadn't looked back at that paper, but she did have a blood test, which really wasn't, she wasn't supposed to have a blood test in November, but she did, and she got a very clean bill of health.
So you know how they say, right? Write your intentions down,
mm-hmm.
you know, make a list, be specific and intentional
yeah.
about what you want.
Worked for Cumin.
Yeah.
Yeah, worked for Cumin. So basically her hyperthyroidism is under control. She's not pre-diabetic, nor is she diabetic, because those issues can sometimes go hand in hand. And so if you have a hyperthyroid cat that you're dealing with, feel free to email us because we found what works for Cumin anyways, and we would be happy to pass along any tips. But a lot of times when a cat has hyperthyroidism, unless you have them radiated, sometimes it's a pretty grim situation and you just kind of see them emaciate away. So it's very sad. It can be very sad. So that's why it's so exciting that Kumin is doing so well. And she's doing so well, in fact, that she is running around like she used to when she was a kitten and playing. So yay for Kumin.
So let's do the same thing, you and me. Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Let's all...
We'll be running around chasing string.
Let's all reverse age. Let's all grow younger. Let's all
and more
get our
come on
strength
that.
Back. Yes. And now we'd like to welcome you to the section of the podcast where we are very obviously gay. This is the gay section. And we are wanting to preach and recruit and convert people into being okay with being gay.
Oh, I thought you were recruiting for gays. Anyone on the fence? Jump over.
Come here, little girl.
No, don't say that.
It's gross. All right, so... How
Isn't
many
that weird
of
how
you?
A lot of people, how there are people who think that just because you're gay, you're a molester.
You know,
that's just horrendous.
Well, they used to think that if you were left-handed, you were the spawn of Satan. So, yeah.
All right.
We're making progress. We're making progress. Come on, people. All right. So probably a lot of you have heard of or maybe even seen the movie called Prayers for Bobby, starring Sigourney Weaver. It was produced especially for Lifetime Television.
Yay, Lifetime.
And we saw it, and we were very impressed.
It was so well done. And in fact, our Toasty did such a great job with doing all the research, just stuff she pulled out from knowing it in the past when she was going through everything, and then some stuff she refreshed herself on as far as the biblical passages. And I'm so proud of myself because when I watched Prayers for Bobby, I totally knew all those passages because Toast told me.
What other good things were about that movie? Because I have one thing that I was disappointed with in the film, but I want to give, you know, proper, put it in a proper perspective. So if we can talk more about positive things,
well, I think
then when
should.
I say my one negative thing, then I won't seem like such a negative person.
Well, a lot of times it's nice to end with the positive.
Okay, so I'll go
like
ahead.
You
here
might
we go.
End with the negative.
Okay, okay, here we go. Here we go. I was kind of bummed that gay people in the film still seemed to be portrayed in general.
Oh yeah.
As being.
Yeah.
As being.
Yeah, that's it.
In bars.
That's it. Yeah.
And.
Promiscuous.
Yeah, promiscuous, perhaps. And just looking weird. And there's, and there's dressing weird. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of gay people who dress perfectly normal and don't like bars and aren't there. And we are some of those people, I would say, you know. So just that, just that.
Because if they're trying to use this film to educate people, it'd be nice to educate them that there are people who look more like mainstream.
Yeah. And there were that. There were. you know, there was a character that Bobby met and was kind of his boyfriend, right?
Right.
At towards the later part of the movie.
Right.
And he was cool. You know, he appeared like, okay, yeah, that's a gay person too. And he looks normal.
Right. But he was promiscuous.
Sorry,
if we're giving this away, I'm sorry. But you know what? Okay. It's just such a great film. It's a really good movie. Lifetime did a great job.
And also too, we're just glad that they made the movie.
Yeah. And, you know, they did heavy promotion
on
this movie all the way from, like, Thanksgiving time, I think.
Yeah. So just that. Okay. Moving on.
But it is really, really well done. And you can go to, if you missed it, you can go to iTunes and download it for $3.99 and watch it. And we would say it's really definitely worth your $3.99. And
you know, if you're the downloading type for BB, videos like that.
And BB, if you still listen to our podcast, BB is the person who we had some very open and respectful communication with regarding Prop 8.
Yes, Prop 8. It was back in November, you know, mm-hmm. the election that basically said that no, gay people should not be allowed to be married because gay marriage is only for a man and a woman. That was what Prop 8 said. And of course, a lot of gay people like us were voting no because we said no, marriage should not just only be for between men and women. You know, gay people, gay couples should be able to get married. And we have a listener, we'll call them BB, who wrote into us. And we're so thankful still. We got to say, man, props and gratitude because mm-hmm. it was really refreshing to hear from the other side, mm-hmm. to hear from someone who said, no, I do believe in Prop 8 and marriage should only be for a man and a woman. And here's why I think that.
So, BB, if you're out there and you're listening to the podcast today, please, if you had a chance, watch this this movie. Because it would be wonderful to hear exactly. your response to it. Just, you know, how do you respond or what's your reaction to it? Mm-hmm. If it shifted anything for you or if not, it'd be really interesting to hear how you feel about it.
Yeah. Or anybody else who feels
anybody
like
else.
BB.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to put all the pressure only on BB.
Right. Now, if you've been wondering what about the main topic, which is coming clean, we are now at that section to come clean.
We have some confessions.
We have some confessions to make to all of you. We've been doing this podcast now for how long?
Years.
Years. So we finally feel safe.
To be completely honest with you in some areas of our life.
Okay. So here we go. The first one.
Okay. Pets.
Pets. First one. Remember the rats?
Okay. So you already know we have Coomin the cat, but yes, we did have a couple rats.
We got some rats. And
two of them. Pet rats. Yes.
As you all knew from before, Prince Yogurt and the Dalai Carib. Well, we actually got three rats. But we didn't want to tell you all because we thought you folks would think we were nuts. The third one is a hairless rat whose name is Shammy.
At first, we named him Shamon after the exclamation of Michael Jackson's in various tracks that he has recorded.
Because this little guy is just so full of energy like that.
Shamon!
Yeah, yeah. So we call him Shammy. However, so that's the confession. The confession is that we actually have got three.
And we never told you.
And we never told you. Update on the rats, however, the two that you did know about, I think we mentioned they both actually passed away pretty quickly from the normal lifespan of rats.
Well, they say
2 years?
Yeah, rats live, between 3 to 5 years, maybe?
I don't know. Anyways. But what happened was they were both from the same litter or whatever they call it. And they had a genetic brain disorder. So one of them had a stroke, most likely. And the other one passed less than a month after from a brain tumor. So very sad. But
we're glad both of them did not suffer.
And they loved each other so much.
Yeah, and they did not suffer.
So they're together now.
Yes.
And we still have Shammy.
Yep.
Who is so cute. And maybe we'll be brave now to show you guys. Okay. That's confession number one. Feels so good. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 22 years since my last confession. These are my sins. Okay.
Number two. It's done? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't know.
You're in the
things.
Dark. Oh. And you're looking at someone through wood.
Okay. X-ray vision.
Yeah. Well, no, not through wood. It's kind of like a wood cutout. It's very ornate.
Yeah, I've seen it in the movies.
Anyways. Okay, so the second confession is that Toast and I are closet high raw foodists.
Okay, there we said it. Oh.
So what that basically means is that we're not 100% raw. We have gone from 50% to 100% at varying times. We're probably now back up to about 90%, maybe a little higher. Of course, through all the sprinkles cupcake talks and this and that and this and that, of course, that would probably be about our 50% days. But basically, the raw food lifestyle is one where you prioritize eating raw foods. And a raw food is a food that is not heated above. Now, there's some debate about this. It's a food that's not heated above 105 degree temperature all the Fahrenheit. Way through 118 degrees. Okay, and basically the whole purpose and big deal about that is that the food itself keeps its original natural enzymes, which is needed in order for the body to break that food down. When you eat cooked foods, the enzymes in them are completely destroyed, and therefore your own body that already has enzymes in it has to use its own reserves that it normally uses, say, for repairing your skin or repairing a cut that you might have or whatever. It has to go towards just simple digestion. And so you no longer have those enzymes. And so that's basically what raw food is.
I'm so impressed that that was great, I thought.
With what?
With your explanation.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how accurate my perception is, because I didn't know that already. But that was great.
Okay.
And
because, I mean, you know, we didn't tell you guys because what? You just think of hippies? Nothing's wrong with hippies. We love hippies. I'm kind of a hippie. Because I love patchouli oil and incense and meditation
it's
and candles.
Hilarious.
But,
and we
know,
like their music.
There's just, we just didn't, I don't know, we just didn't want to tell you.
There is a reputation that, you know, a stereotype that goes along with things like a raw food diet.
Right.
Just and like there's a stereotype that goes along with a gay lifestyle.
Right. So. And we've been canoodling with the raw foods since 2006. So just to tell you all, since 2006, we've been moonlighting as raw foodists. Okay. Good.
Okay. Okay, next. There's more. There's more.
Okay.
What does that say? I'm trying to read the notes. I don't understand that.
Number three.
Oh, yeah, this one.
We
this
pretty
one.
Much, you know, alluded to this or just actually proclaimed it, that I'm in love with the president. Yes, I am.
Of the United States.
Yeah. But a confession. Okay. Yes.
Nothing. I was just going to say I'm still loving that. Yeah, it's President Barack Obama.
Yeah, I love him. Okay. Here's just a little confession. We were rehearsing at a church on Sunday. And we sang a song that we don't normally sing. And it's called Love Can Build a Bridge. And I almost couldn't get through it because I wanted to cry because I thought about our president.
And this wasn't even like a service that was focused on the president or anything near
it? It wasn't even the service. It was rehearsing. That's kind of embarrassing.
We were just all by ourselves playing a song. And then after we finished, Sienna looks at me and says, oh my God, I almost started crying because in the middle of the song, I started thinking about President Obama. It was so funny. I love it. Love it.
Oh, see, that's so embarrassing.
Okay. No, it's not. I think that's wonderful. You're so passionate and into it. And
I
love that.
Okay.
You know, okay.
I love him.
We got
okay.
We'll talk more about economics and tax brackets and graduated income taxes later and the commons. And
okay. Number four. And this is pretty much
democratic socialism.
Sorry. No, I'm giving you space.
Okay.
Any more?
No.
Okay. Number four. It's our last confession. All right. So here we go. Remember the whole reason we decided to take a hiatus from the podcast? If you don't remember, basically, we were presented with an opportunity that could have been pretty incredible. And we needed the time to work on this opportunity.
Or so we thought.
Mm-hmm. So basically, just, you know, Tosin and I have changed somewhat.
A lot.
From when we first started doing music. When we first started doing music.
It was 2000.
We would take some crazy risks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 2002.
That, you know.
We did things then that we would not do now.
Yeah, right.
Can you say that?
And we won't totally go into that. But anyways, this situation, basically we were contacted by a well-known person who suggested to us that, you know, maybe we could collaborate and perform together in a group, like form our own group together. He had heard one of our songs on the internet. And so anyways, we were very, very honored and we felt very happy about that. But the timing, it was really a timing issue for us. And in the past, we would have done anything at all costs, health, whatever, you know, throw everything aside to just do this. But because it was such an incredible opportunity, we kept thinking we could do it, but we knew inside that just the timing of it was not working out for us. And
we tried to make it work. And
we really tried to make it work. And so basically, the update on that is we declined to do this project. And, you know, we connected with the person. And the great thing is that this person was so incredibly gracious. And he really left the door and his heart open to us and said, if we reconsider, to contact him. And he was just so wonderful about that.
Real good example of a successful person.
Yes. Thank you.
Somebody that I can really admire.
Not just success in that other way, but success, like
inner integrity.
Spirit.
And yep.
Just incredible. Mm-hmm. So that's that last confession. Yeah. Oh, don't you feel better? Now there's no more secrets.
I'll get there.
Yeah. Okay. So, all be wondering, so what the hell are you guys doing now? Well, okay. Basically,
we're doing the podcast.
We're doing the podcast. So we are back on track. And we are also writing with Daniel Ho. We've been doing that for a few months now. We write with him every other week for a particular solo project that he is working on. So that's going to be great to have songwriting credits, really.
Mm-hmm. And it's lovely to be back in a creative mode on a regular basis.
Yes,
which we have not been able to do for the past few years because, you know, we were throwing all caution to the wind and just gigging every chance we got. So that's been nice. What else?
Yeah.
And we have some speaking of that, we actually do have some gigs coming up.
We do.
In March and April.
We do. March, April, and quite a few that are pretty just kind of crammed in there for those 2 months.
Yeah, and they just kind of came up.
They just came up, so, and we've had to decline some gigs that we actually would have loved to do.
Yeah, in the past, we totally would have done it.
We would have done what we needed to do. Right, we're learning balance.
Yes, I think we're getting wiser.
I think so, yeah. Because
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling wiser.
Because in the past, 2 gigs booked in 1 day, we wouldn't have blinked an eye.
Oh, yeah.
Five gigs booked in... 3 days.
One weekend.
We wouldn't have blinked an eye. But now we're realizing, you know what? It impacts us. We don't do our best job. And so we've learned from that. So we've had to decline some gigs that we really would have done in a heartbeat. So we're writing, we're gigging, we're doing the podcast, and we are working with a particular camera on loan from a friend. Everyone, please pray for this camera because we're hoping that we can utilize it to do some video podcasts. And we're not just teasing you. We have some ideas in the wings. But it all hinges on if this camera will work. So it's on the desk. It's right here in plain sight. We are working on it. So we have a lot of exciting things like that. So,
And as we wind down this new episode, we're going to leave you with
a tip,
a little recipe.
A little recipe that will help you come clean.
And be a raw foodist too.
But don't worry. I mean, we eat cooked food. We do.
Yeah.
I don't want them to not like us because we're raw. Okay, anyways. We're working on our approval issues. Okay, this recipe comes from the Health and Spirituality Corner because this is a healthful recipe and it's how we start our mornings off. So what you're going to need for this recipe is a juicer, a citrus juicer, actually. If you don't have one, it's really inexpensive, like $20. You can buy one.
20, electric, 30 bucks.
Electric citrus juicer, and it's pretty incredible.
We've used ours every day for a couple of years. And
since 2006.
So, you know, an investment of $20, that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. So you're going to need a citrus juicer and a blender, okay? So basically, juice 4 oranges. And you're going to pour the juice of those 4 oranges in a blender. You're going to add 1 ripe banana to it. Probably use a regular banana versus an apple banana if you live in Hawaii, because the apple banana tends to be a little bit more tart. And you're going to just start blending that on low. And when the banana looks pretty blended, then you're going to put in about 3 ounces of fresh raw spinach or fresh raw romaine lettuce.
Romaine?
Yeah.
Oh, which is the one that's all crunchy and...
That's iceberg.
Okay, not that one.
Not that one.
Too much fibrous stuff in that one, yeah?
Yeah, an iceberg, although nutritious, is less nutritious than the darker leafy greens. So anyways, put about 3 ounces in there. And if you can put more, put more.
Just whatever fits in your usual blender, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Pack it if you want.
Yeah.
And if you need help getting the greens kind of in there, if you have like a stick of celery, you can use that to kind of jam the greens down. But anyways, blend and blend. And if you see little bits, keep blending, especially if this is your first time with a green smoothie. Keep blending until you don't see too many bits in there. And you could add some ice if you live in a hotter climate. And just sip away. And that drink is full of enzymes and proteins and calcium. A lot of people don't think calcium's in greens, leafy greens, but it is. Calcium is. And also it has a lot of iron from the spinach. It is a fabulous, fabulous, wonderful drink.
It is. We drink that every morning.
It is. We drink that every morning.
I love it. It's a nice green color. It makes me feel like I'm in Star Wars when I'm drinking it. Mm-hmm. You know,
how they had that
blue. Yeah. Like a green drink. You know, they had a blue drink on Tatooine, but I have a green drink.
But it's yummy.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Vote.